Interesting that so many things were happening today having to do with Thanksgiving and the basket, the Easter baskets, and with the boxes. And the Lord had laid on my heart a message, and this is the title of the sermon: How to Cultivate a Giving Heart. I'm not saying how to cultivate giving, but how to cultivate a giving heart, because I think anybody can give, but their heart may not be in it, or their heart may be doing it for some different reasons. And this passage I'm going to start off reading today is from a book that I have struggled with as to its inspiration. If you have missed Sunday school and Eric's presentation of some discipleship truths in now we're on bibliology and the study of the Bible, and its inspiration is what we were discussing today. Please come and do that. But I have no problem with the inspiration of Ecclesiastes, but I do have some difficulty not getting upset with the one that wrote it, because Solomon, in the end of his life, slipped away from God, turned away from God to idols. And I've had discussions with people as to whether he stayed away or not. But in Ecclesiastes, he seems to have a mixture of pessimism and some very little optimism in the book. But nevertheless, I believe that it has inspired, and I believe that we can learn some great spiritual truths from this. Again, I'd like you to turn, if you do have your Bibles, to the book of Ecclesiastes. It's right after Psalms in chapter 11, looking at a few verses there. And just making some comments on that, and hoping to develop that through the rest of this message. And Lord God, I do give my heart and life to you. I hide behind the cross. Again, Lord God, I know that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, if in fact they are from me alone, Lord God, will be only manly, only worldly. But may I bring forth the word of God, Lord, and may people have a revelation of the truth of your presence in that word, Lord, and may they receive all that you have for them this day, in Christ's name, amen. I've always loved this starting verse. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. I've been studying in a hermeneutical class about the culture and the historical setting and a logical understanding of scriptures, but culturally, when you look at this, casting your bread upon water, if you think about that literally, you're thinking about taking pieces of bread and throwing it out on top of the water. And what's that mean? I've never seen bread float back to a person. And what does it mean? It will return after many days. But casting your bread upon the water, when they speak of this culturally at that time of Solomon, it probably had a reference to the fact that they did at times in a watery area, casting their wheat or whatever they were planting on. And my father had told me about this, and when he was in World War II, he saw a man plant a wheat field with the water on it, and the wheat would soak and sink down to the bottom of the ground. So if you cast, in essence, your wheat or your bread upon the water for sowing it as in looking forward to a harvest, it would sink down in and then hit the ground. And then when that water subsided and when growing season came around, it would help swell that grain, and it would germinate and produce a harvest. So casting your bread upon the water, it says, and looking at this, for thou shalt find it after many days. So after many days, then you might see a wheat harvest. But the thing that this has always spoken to me as to the analogy he was making is that you should be sowing and you should be planting in the seeds of righteousness and cultivating habits that would be a sowing of blessings. As you cast out your blessings or the deeds that you do upon the waters of humanity, so to speak, you never know but that it looks like it disappears, but in time to come, it will bring forth a harvest. And at times we are thinking about this as some kind of a prosperity thought. When I think about prosperity and what is called so-called the prosperity gospel, you know that I am not a prosperity gospel preacher, that I believe that there are instructions in the Word of God that if you follow these certain principles, obviously you will receive blessing from God. But I do not believe that that is the motivation whatsoever to ever do anything that is trying to give a blessing out. And so I think about this same thing, cultivating a habit of sowing blessings. And as you cast out that your blessing upon people, they themselves will receive the blessing growing in Christ. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. I believe in giving almost indiscriminately and giving abundantly. At times, I believe that maybe we have been a little restrictive in our giving. It's easy for me to give to my immediate family, to Lillian and the boys, and just Nydia and Kayla, Wesley, and now Elise. I'll be happy to give. And I've given many times. I've happily wanted to have that heart of giving. But at times, you think about when it comes to giving out. And I take maybe these boxes for an instance. We're giving out to someone that we can in no way ever receive anything in return other than the joy of giving and other than following the dictates of the Lord. And so that is mainly the thoughts of the giving that I am thinking about today. Casting your blessings out indiscriminately to whoever may receive them. It says give to seven, give a portion to seven and also to eight. Just give out as you have opportunity. And so the giving isn't in so much that he's used the number seven or eight. The giving is from a heart that wants to bless. And I believe from the Word of God that God wants us to have a heart that is desirous to give and to bless and to just expect nothing in return, to have that kind of a heart. And then the next verse goes on, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves. And you can take this in two different thoughts. If a person is filled with the love of God, with the goodness of God, it can do nothing but burst out and overflow. Or let me say this, if you happen to be a person that is blessed with an abundance of finances or you are well off, then you are like a cloud filled with rain, and you need to, in essence, give that out. Give it so that you can let that be a blessing. Because he goes on to say that in the next portion of that verse, and if a tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Meaning, as I have taken this, that what you do will be what you do. And if you decide not to give, then you have not given. The tree has landed and stayed there. But if you are a giver, where your tree has fallen, it will point to righteousness. It will report to blessing. It will be a tree that has fallen in the right direction. And where it has fallen, if that is what you are, have a giving heart, then that is what you are. But I do have a desire to see people cultivate a giving heart. Again, not to cultivate giving. If I said, okay, I want you to give more today, and we want to give more, and you say, okay, yeah, I want to give more, but it doesn't come from a heart that wants to be compassionate or blessing. I believe that it is not the best way to have entered that kind of an attitude. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. How many times have we heard people, you know, say, I'd like to do this, but not right now. Things are just not the way I wanted them to be. How many people have children out there? When you had the children, was that the best time in your life to have the children? It seems that when you add up, do I have enough money to be able to support a child, to put a child through school, put a child through college, they've come up with some astronomical numbers about how much it costs to raise children. But we have to put that aside and say, we want to be able to be a family, to have the blessing of just their presence with us. And whatever it costs in the long run, then I'm not going to say I have to wait for a better time. And I would encourage you also that if you are ever contemplating ministry or doing something good to a person or giving something to somebody, don't say, well, you know, I'm a little tight this week. You know, I'm going to wait for another time. Maybe that person has a need right now, and you need to be able to bless that person or step in for that need. And it's, again, I'd like to say it's not always financially what a person needs. And I believe God needs to work in my heart and in the aspect of giving, not so much financially. I don't, my challenge is time. I feel I have to restrict my time. Sometimes I'd like to be able to do and be there for everybody, but sometimes it seems like I run out of time. But I believe God wants me to be a person that invests more time in people. And so this is a word to me in that way. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. We don't know how a baby's formed in the womb. We don't know many things. But I'm telling you, God will work it out. And if you want to see a blessing in your life, not coming back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over under your bosom will men give you, but you would see a blessing of having a heart that is cultivating a giving attitude, then I am telling you, trust in God to work in it, even if you cannot see the outcome, even if you cannot see the end from the beginning. Nevertheless, give what you can of your time, of your talents, of your offerings unto God and things that are needed. Never hesitate to do that. In the morning, sow thy seed, and the evening, withhold not thine hand. To me, that speaks again as sow when you can. Sow in the morning and don't quit sowing even when it's evening. Give in when the time is obvious to give in the daytime, but give also when it doesn't seem that it's going to even be of benefit. If you see a need, give. And it doesn't say that if you give something that it's going to totally alleviate the pain, but maybe as I saw the faces of these children and they opened the boxes, that's certainly not going to take them out of the poverty that they are in, but it certainly is giving them a blessing to know that somebody cares. And as they saw that it was a Christian that gave to them, they would begin to have a greater respect of hearing the gospel. And so the joy I had was seeing those young people come to Jesus Christ, as they said on the video. Continue to give. Be a blessing to all at all times. Have that kind of a heart that blesses. I would also say this is, do not hesitate to start something that you feel God is laying on your heart. This is about sowing and reaping the benefits of being used of God in a certain manner. And so I just wanted to read through that portion. I'm not doing an exegesis of this, just how these thoughts hit my heart. I would like to turn to another portion of Scripture and look at this kind of an attitude in action. And I'm certainly, you know, the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. But I just want to look at that and read through that those few verses so that you can see how a heart has been cultivated and is a giving heart. And if you need to come up to this, maybe this could be your model as you think about this. Of course, our model is Jesus Christ, and this is the Good Samaritan is certainly an illustration of our Lord and Savior. But in Luke chapter 10, verse 30, it says, "And Jesus said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by him on the other side. But a certain Samaritan," again, culturally, we have to look at this because the Samaritans were a despised people. In fact, the Jews of Jerusalem would do everything in their power to circumvent going through Samaria. They didn't want to go near it. They didn't want to have to do anything with the Samaritans. Of course, we know that Christ went through there and did witness to a woman there. He said, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him," and this is a word coming up that touches me, "he had compassion on him." He didn't even say, "This is the right thing to do." It was his heart that had been cultivated to give. He had compassion. I know some compassionate people in this congregation. Not compassion because they give money. Not compassionate. I don't. It's just the way they are. I see a heart of compassion. Herman has a heart of compassion. Elvira shows a heart of compassion. My wife Lillian has a heart of compassion. Her soul yearns for those that are in distress. I thank God for, and many of you others, Pat, and has a heart. The people that have a heart of compassion that just see a situation and want to enter in to be helpful. I know I've left so many people out that have that heart of compassion, but just giving an illustration. "And he went to him and he bound up his wounds." This man was probably on his way back from a long journey. And he just wants to get home. I know after a long day doing anything, it's just nice to get back home. There's no place like home. But he took time and he went and he bound up this man's wounds. I'm glad they have the Good Samaritan Act that were able to help people. But he took the time, he bound up his wounds. I don't know what he had to bind up his wounds. But he certainly did. He bound up. He poured in oil and wine, obviously oil to soften the wound and wine to help take care of any infection, and set him on his own beast. He put that wounded man up on his horse, his beast, his donkey, and the Samaritan walked. Well, he didn't know that this man was. He didn't care what he was. He just did it because he had a heart of compassion, and he brought him to an inn and took care of him. This is just going beyond the pale to me. This is doing too much. But isn't that what was done for you and me? Too much was done for me. Too much has been done for me. But he took him to the inn. This was the height of being inconvenienced. I think one of the difficult things I have in life is being inconvenienced. When I have my own little plan and something goes awry, I just get a little grumpy. Anybody out there ever get grumpy because they're inconvenienced? But this man, even if he was grumpy, he followed through, taking him to an inn, and then in verse 35, and stayed with him all night, taking care of him. What a heart. I want that kind of a heart. I want to see my heart just cultivated with compassion and with giving in that manner. And on the morrow, he departed. He took out 2 pence, which must have been enough to supply the innkeeper with whatever was needed, and gave them to the host, the innkeeper, and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come, I will repay thee. Imagine that. It wasn't just stopping, taking care of the man, taking him to an inn, being inconvenienced. But then he was looking out for his future and said, I will repay whatever you have spent on this man. And Jesus said in reply to this the question that had been asked him earlier, which now of these thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And they said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Many people want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Wednesday, I have been speaking about some of those spiritual disciplines and things that we might do to grow in that. Eric has been presenting some doctrinal truths in discipleship. But all these things will only give us knowledge until they are put into practice, until you begin to practice the heart of compassion and the heart of giving, until you begin to cultivate this in your heart. And maybe some of you may have a slow beginning, but do not despise the days of little beginning, but just pursue in that. And even as we read in Ecclesiastes, don't look to the weather. He that looks to the clouds and he that looks to the rain will never sow, but be one that sows in whatever time there is. How many people have some money? Three people have money out there. How many people live in a house? How many people ate this morning or last night or yesterday? And I'm going to say this again. I do not want to be a preacher of guilt. So I'm not trying to give you guilt. I'm just trying to give you a rational understanding that you have things. And do you know the reason that you have things? Let me read a scripture that says what the reason is. And why should we turn away from evil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. We have so that we can give. What? Now, this doesn't seem like it's the prosperity message. We seem to have so that we can get, or the reason that the prosperity message was, we seem to want to give so we can get. And we'll give even more so that we can get even more. That is totally the wrong attitude. We have so that we can give, expecting nothing in return. Do I get any kind of an amen? I believe that I'm not having just so I'm blessed. I do believe that Jesus will bless me, but that certainly is not the motivation of my heart, to have so that I can accumulate. I have so that I can give out, not so that I can give out to get more, but so that I can give what God has already given me. And let us not be weary in well-doing, the Bible says, for in due season ye shall reap if we faint not. Be not weary in well-doing. And the reaping, again, I believe, is not so that we can reap a blessing for ourselves financially or in any other respect, but in the joy of having participated in what God has so graciously done for us in the person of Jesus Christ. Our motive is that Christ gave to us. That's your motive. God commendeth or showeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for me and never asked anything in return, even while I was a sinner, and I still am. I don't call myself a sinner. I call myself a new creation in Christ, but I know that I have sinned after I have received salvation. But my motivation is Christ and what he has given so freely to me. I want to give as Christ gave. Christ showed his love for us in dying on a cross, and that life he gave was so applicable to my situation and us all. What else did he do? He gave up time with his Father in heaven. He was seated at the right hand of God from all eternity, and yet he left the glories of heaven to come here to earth and die for me. He gave up that position. And he gave us of his abilities in being a teacher and a healer, and obviously all the things that he did accomplished on the cross. And I mention these things of Christ because we also should be giving our time and our position and anything that we have been blessed with, we should be using that to be a blessing to others, to give as we have received. When I think about giving, it is the time and it is the abilities and it is the increase of what God has given unto us. Give with an eye on giving more. As I said, I don't believe that is what God would have us to do. But give as that man did, the Good Samaritan. He gave with an eye of following through. If somebody says, you know, can you give $5? I could give $5 and I can forget about it. But I want to cultivate a heart that thinks about the person after I have easily given my money. Whatever you have, maybe you have a little extra money. It's easy to give that. But if you don't have a little extra time, then that becomes a sacrifice to give a little bit of time. And God wants us to emulate what Christ did. Christ didn't have all the time in the world. Just because he is eternal, he came to this world and was made in the likeness of man, being found in fashion of that man, he humbled himself. And so therefore, he took the time that he had where he could have been spending more time doing what, I don't know what he wanted to do. He wanted to save the world. So then he had his criteria centered on that. But give with the resolve of following through and give and be blessed in the giving is the thing that I want to do. The thing about giving, when I preach this, couple things that I want to do. I don't want you to have any guilt today. I don't like guilt sermons. I believe that maybe guilt might motivate us a little bit, but it doesn't have a lasting effect. What I want the motivation to be for you, again, is the person of Jesus Christ. He loved you so much, and you give because you were loved, not because you feel guilty about the love that was given you, but because you are rejoicing in the love that was given you. You have to give with a heart that has been so loved that you are filled up, and as a cloud with rain, you just pour out the water of righteousness that God has placed in your heart. The thing about the local church is that it affords you the opportunity to cultivate a heart of giving. There are opportunities in the local church to give of your time, to give of your talents, and to give of your tithes. We always mention that. But today, we're thinking about another giving that will not really benefit the local church. So this could be about as pure a giving as I can possibly think of. In what Herman was showing with the boxes, I got myself one of these boxes. And I just want to demonstrate to you, in the back we have these. So I want to show you how to put this box together. Now, you take it and you fold up the two tops, which I've done. Then you flip it over and over again. And this white part you put in here, then you snap these things together in this box. You feeling very spiritual while I'm doing this? So then that is together. I'll put that out. Then you do the same with the other side. Now, after you have the box together, the lid should close down on the top like that with my tie in it. And there is the completed box. For my next trick, I would like to show you how to fill the box. Now, Herman gave me a box that was filled with these, but I'm going to fill my own box with this. So what you do to fill the box is you open the lid. And you take various things. Crayons. A bottle. Toothpaste. We did this when I was like in third grade too, and I forget what it was. A notepad. A bowl. Bunch of other stuff. There's always got to be a bar of soap in there. And you fill the box up. Now, that's not the end of it. You take this little pamphlet, and it shows whether it is a boy or a girl.
inside you write the pertinent information. You fold that up, and then you take $7 and you put that in the top. You close the box, like so, maybe even put a piece of tape on it, and you bring it up and you present it to God at the altar. The Bible says, whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto man, knowing that of the Lord you shall win the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Now, $7 in that box, and it probably cost some money to put the things in. But one of the things that I also thought about was, I'm going to do this myself. I want to go out and do a little shopping. Maybe I'll go to the dollar store, or maybe look in the Price Chopper, or some other place where you can get some things to put in this box, and fill that box up with things that I think would be a wonderful thing. Now, I believe, as I'm doing this, I'm going to pray over this box also, that the one that receives this would receive the joy of Christ in their life and an opportunity to receive salvation if they haven't received Christ, and trust that God will work this out to his honor and glory. Now, has anybody out here ever given this kind of a box? Now, and not to show some embarrassment, but then that means some people haven't done that. So I don't know how many of these boxes we have left back there, but I would encourage you today to make this a point and say, I want to cultivate, for Christ's sake, a giving heart, and let this be a step in it. This local church, we get no credit for it. They don't even know who I am when I go over there. And we give the boxes, and the kids aren't going to know who I am. So they're going to say, oh, this came from Bread of Life. They're not going to know. Franklin Graham will get the most credit for this, and the other people that are, which is fine with me. I think Franklin Graham's a great guy. And I would answer the phone if Franklin Graham called me. Oh, you weren't in Sunday school. Sunday school, will be. So I'm asking you today to begin to cultivate a heart of giving from the motivation that you are doing it as unto Jesus Christ. Who believes that that's a good motivation? All right. So I leave you with that thought. What I would like to do now is call the worship team back up, Michael and the group. And they're going to play a song for you. And I want the three brave young ladies that are about to be dipped in the cold waters of Bread of Life to change and get into their baptismal clothes. And I will also. And we're going to go into the water, as cold and scary as it looks.